Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Oh, hello everyone. It is I, Molly Wood.
And myself, Tom Merritt.
And welcome to It's a Thing, the show where we cuddle up in our bathrobes, pour a nice cup of hot piping coffee, peruse the physical newspaper in search of the latest, hottest, most interesting trends, and then tell you all about them.
I just want to go with that, but then part of me wants to explain what my real morning was like.
Do it.
This is the show where you
puncture the bubble.
Drop off your 12-year-old Prius at the dealer for service, get a cappuccino of Pete's out of their automatic coffee, walk back home, and set up for a podcast.
What? That's already happened? Oh,
yeah.
Son, that's too much.
That was my morning.
Oh, I'm
thankfully it's real close. So
in my bathrobe. Like, yeah. I want to be super clear here. If there were snow falling outside, it would be perfect. It's that hygge around here right
that.
Now.
Yeah. So hygge.
I bought these cute mugs because I made glug at Christmas.
Yeah.
So, of course, I needed special mugs for the glug because otherwise it wouldn't taste good.
What are you new?
And now I just use them for everything all the time because they just make me feel so cozy and delightful.
It makes sense that glug mugs would be hygge.
Doesn't it?
Doesn't it, though?
Yeah. I think that sentence had three umlauts in it. Glug mugs are hygge.
And then listen to some Motley Crue.
So for those of you who are still suffering through winter, which I know is still happening in some place, I talked to my dad in Montana. He said, we got 5 inches of snow yesterday. I'm like, that's why I live here now. But I'm with you in spirit, in hygge Saturday morning spirit.
Yeah, I like the Saturday morning vibe. It's the podcast of indeterminate recording time. We're not promising anything, but
and I have to say, I feel like it's a little peppier. It doesn't have the Friday afternoon exhaustion. I know. Yeah. Maybe we should make this our new thing.
It's a thing.
Let's see. We got some. We have like one person in the Discord. So for those of you who are patrons who have connected your accounts to the Discord and join us live, MacGruber guy. Wait, we have two because of course.
Oh, Sudat's in there too.
Sudat's in there, so maybe it works. Vote. Discord friends, help us decide on our recording time if Saturday morning works better for you.
Help us vote on a recording time that we'll then ignore.
That we will probably ignore, depending on our day.
Wizerbacky? Is that how you say your name? Wizerbacky? It's Wizerbacki.
Wizerbacky. Mm-hmm. And craft beer Friday nights. Right. Good call. Anyway, shall we... actually do the show instead of
so my first thing ties right into craft beer Friday nights, and it is a thing that I think I had mentioned in our earlier seasons years ago. I have been hoping would become a thing, and I feel like now this is the time. This is its time. I'm gonna make a call. I may be totally wrong, but I think cider is about to break through into the mainstream.
I mean, I agree with you, and I feel like we even had a somewhat more recent conversation about how we thought it should be a thing by now. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I think you are totally right, because I have seen, in fact, just recently at St. Patrick's Day, I bought cider to take to dinner, and I was like, huh, there are like 11 different kinds of cider in my corner store.
Yes, and there's a few signals here. First of all, Stella Artois cider has become... prevalent. So when you get like a major brand out there pushing its cider, that's a sign, right? Because the major brands aren't going to waste their time on that,
right?
So I see that in the grocery stores. I see it advertised now on menus. A lot of places that wouldn't otherwise have a cider have Stella Artois cider, spelled C-I-D-R-E because it's Stella Artois. The other one is differentiation of flavors. So instead of like two apple ciders, there's like, oh, we also have a pineapple cider. And, I don't know what the other ones are, but I've seen other ones.
Right. Now no, I've seen other kinds of fruit. Yeah. And I actually saw a rosé cider, which I thought was
yes,
weird.
That was one of them that I saw. Yeah.
I kind of want to try it. What do you think that's about? Just like a sparkling rosé type thing, but it was called a cider, so I guess it's made.
I'll be honest, it's probably just apple cider with pig food coloring. is what I thought when I saw it. But here's the clincher. Here's the canary in the cider orchard. Veronica Belmont was having a cider on Sword and Laser earlier this week when we recorded.
Oh, and she is, of course, the noted, like, coolster.
She's kind
of,
yeah.
She's kind of the coolster, yeah.
Not pretentious, just always in yeah. on top, yeah. right? I asked her, like, why a cider? She's like, oh, I don't know. You know, it's a blah, 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 blah. She had her reasons, but none of those reasons were because it's cool. It was more like just the natural outgrowth of events. And I said, on Sword and Laser this week, I'm like, that's my thing now because nice. You're drinking that cider.
Because you're drinking that cider. Yeah. And I'm now thinking back and I've seen the cans a bunch. There are those like really cool looking cans where you can just buy like one can of cider. And actually a friend, we bought some, my friend and I went to the drive-in movie and had like cider. And as I am doing my real-time DuckDuckGo, it appears to be that rosé cider in particular is becoming a bigger thing. I just put a link in the Discord, actually.
Oh,
yeah. About it.
The year of rosé cider is upon us.
It's upon us, which just means that cider has finally hit.
Also, they're showing an apple that's colored red so, as the default yeah. picture, which just that's probably fake. But
I will say that is hysterical that like cider finally has arrived, which I think is true, but then literally ran right into the buzzsaw that is our collective obsession with rosé and then became this unholy alliance. That's hilarious.
Hilariously, what I was drinking on Sword and Laser this week was a rosé wine. So,
how appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, a lot of the people I know, I bet that a part of the reason that cider has finally arrived is because of wheat sensitivities generally. Like the paleo people that I know get cider.
Yeah, there's so many. There's a convergence, right? There's like legit gluten-free. There's wheat sensitivity. There's people who just want to avoid the bread. There's the paleo thing. There's all these variations. They're like, oh, cider. And personally, I love a beer. A Smithwick's on a Friday made my week complete. But yeah. If I drink cider, I don't feel as I don't feel as heavy. I don't feel as weighed down.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's why I'm in cider because I want the like refreshing sparkliness and none of the bloat because I'm old.
And they're not always sparkly in case people are like, sparkly, not for me. You can, there's sparkly, there's non-sparkly ciders out there. So
there are?
Yeah, Strongbow. Strongbow is one of my favorites.
Wow. I didn't know that, man. You are so cool. Huh.
I don't like to brag, but yes.
But I think you're totally right. I think
Drinking cider for a long time. It started because the Irish bar in my neighborhood in San Francisco, like 10 years ago, started really pushing Magner's cider. And that's when I was like, sure, I'll try it. And I was like, oh, yeah, I don't get as weighed down. This is great.
Amazing. But I think you're right that it's time. I love that you made it a predictive thing because indeed its time has come.
Yeah, and I think we stumbled upon the fact that rosé is like a thing for
right, that's
sure,
just a hilarious, right? right. Yeah. Like the fact that there's a crossover there is hysterical, but I think across the board, just it's really, you're right, that it's just cider with a subtrend, with a side thing,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
A side thing. That's a whole other thing. My thing is also about, my thing is about things that come back around, much like, I guess, cider. And that is, and it kind of goes with our overall nostalgia trend, but back farther. And it is old lady names for little baby girls.
Oh, yeah. That is a good one.
Is a thing. And the names are getting older and older. It's like they're just going back and back. So if you look at, the Baby Center list of top names for 2019, of course, Olivia, Emma, Ava, and Sophia, sorry, ladies, is still at the top. Like these poor children with these names are, they're doomed. Like it's just going to be a scrum every time somebody shouts Ava in a crowded room. But if you go down the list a little, you start seeing Charlotte, Harper, Evelyn.
Amelia.
Amelia, exactly. Abigail.
Oh yeah, I'm not seeing Gertrude. We're not that far. Victoria, well, though.
I know. Camila.
Camila, yeah.
And Penelope.
Or Camilla.
So I guess, depending.
Yeah.
Penelope is on there. Eleanor Violet. Is down there at 47. And I know someone, and this is what made me realize I think it's really a thing, because it's like friend of a friend now. I am one degree of separation away from a baby girl named Beatrice.
Beatrice.
So which is actually really pretty.
I'm going to go with my my great aunt scale. Roberta, Adele. Adele was actually my grandma. Roberta, Adele, Stella. And is that it? Am I missing? No. Elsie.
Okay.
Those are my great aunts.
Well, Stella's
and I
number
say
43.
Aunt because they're great. You know, they'd just be aunts otherwise.
I know. Why is that? But you're right.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not so we're not to that level in this list, sadly. I was hoping one of those would be on there.
Oh no, Stella's number 43.
Oh, Stella made it. Awesome.
Yep. Stella made it. And then what was it? Roberta is not on there, and the other
Roberta,
was
Adele, and Adele. Elsie.
Elsie though could be a derivation of Elizabeth, which is also which is pretty high.
Sure.
On there. Interestingly, number 100, and this is not an old lady name, is Reagan. But maybe they say Regan.
Regan, yeah.
But it's spelled like the president.
Also, Noah is the new Kyle. I had not really put that together, but it absolutely is.
Okay. Noah is the new Kyle is also my new favorite out of context sentence ever. Noah is the new Kyle. Also, Ruby is a lovely name.
Ruby.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Anyway, yeah. Old lady names for girl babies. It's just, it feeds, it's so interesting because it just is feeding the like, nostalgia trend, but
yeah,
how it kind of keeps skipping backward. It's like either the 90s or the 20s.
Exactly. Baby names always dip back, right? And like, oh, this name hasn't been used for a while, or maybe I have a grandmother that's named that. So that's normal, but this feels like it's going farther back.
Oh, yeah.
And there's something that I haven't put my finger on, where I'm seeing some stylistic things that are doing that. And I know we've talked about that. So I don't know what to call that. But yeah, the distant nostalgia.
Yeah, we need a name for that. Mm-hmm. Come on, internet. Help us out here. Help us out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what else you got?
Well, the other one I got, this is the one I feel best about because I think it's dead on because I was able to actually find Pinterest boards about it. Earth tones in home decor, coupled with the return of paneling.
Oh.
Okay. So earth tones in home decor. We were actually talking the other day on DTNS about, or actually on Good Day Internet, about avocado as a color for home appliances.
Oh,
and how that's, you know, so 70s. And I was like, I don't know, guys. I wouldn't be shocked to see that come back because earth tones are definitely making a comeback. You know, right now it's kind of on the gold side, on the yellow-brown side. But they're definitely making a comeback. And then in pursuit of evidence of that, I found all this paneling. And it's not your father's paneling. It's not the big, long wooden planks pasted up. They're parallel, usually. And they're stick-on. And they sort of are like taking the horizontal fence and putting it up on your wall inside.
My God. It totally is just like that. Wow. And there is a lot of it. He found... And this is how you know it's a thing, like because you found it on Wayfair.
Yeah, like stick on wood paneling where you just like you just peel and put it up on your wall.
Oh my God, I kind of want to do this because you know how I mean you know, but maybe not everybody listening knows. But when you live in earthquake country, you're really not supposed to put anything on the wall above your bed,
right? Because they don't want it to fall on your head.
Because you don't want it to fall on you, and then you die.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be the perfect decorative element.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it gives you something on the wall that's going to, it's stuck to the wall, right? So
right.
It's because it's peel and stick.
And it looks so cool. Ooh, I'm into this. And you're right with the earth tones. That is lovely. You know, this, both paneling and earth tones, actually goes with my current favorite trend in kitchen design because part of why you might be right about like avocado appliances coming back is that I think everybody's a little over stainless steel because it just gets dirty. It's all fingerprints all the time. And everybody has it. which is always the death of a trend.
Yeah.
And so I am obsessed with the thing where the refrigerator is paneled, where it looks like it's a cabinet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
because I was trying to figure out, we're not going to get the straight avocado and brown fridge and oven. It's going to be a spin. And yeah. I think you nailed it, especially on the refrigerator. Maybe not so much on the oven, but yeah, some kind of patterned earth tone.
Right. But people, yeah. You're starting to see people hide their dishwasher in the same way, too. I'm finding a picture.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a cool idea. So it's like a cabinet door, and then you open it and like, oh, it's actually the dishwasher.
Yeah, like hidden right. dishwasher thing. Because people are sort of moving past the super ostentatious.
Yeah. Look at my gleaming stainless steel antiseptic kitchen.
Exactly.
Sadat, suitable for any chef.
Sadat in the
that I never use.
Sadat in the Discord is really bummed because it's got the fridge. But just to be clear, I also have that same fridge. Like I'm not updating the picture of the kitchen that I found with the perfectly paneled refrigerator and double ovens is not my house. Uh-uh. And Rich, the producer, says stainless steel has the benefit of being reflective, which entertains a one-year-old. And I think that's also an important note.
That is fair. You can always, I don't know, maybe they're into texture.
Panel that fridge. See, this is what they need, is they need a panel. They just need panels that could stick onto the existing fridge. That would be awesome. Because you really have to do a whole remodel, but...
It's not that much of a... To go from peel and stick paneling for your wall to something...
Right?
Like magnetic for your fridge, maybe?
That would be amazing because I love that look. That's hilarious because my thing is a specific decorator thing, but I think is really just an offshoot of the bigger thing, which is decorator culture.
Uh-huh.
Because everybody – and it is due to the accessibility, I think, of things like Wayfair, but also the trend on – like HGTV, which used to be about buying, selling houses, now is just about like making those houses hella pretty.
And right, because nobody can afford a house anymore.
Right. So like all you can do is make over your existing house basically or buy a dump and redo it. And I think it has totally led to this rise of decorator culture where everybody's sort of like, oh, we're super into style now, like way more than – and you know, people would make their houses look nice, but – I don't know. I think there's this sense that it's sort of like, okay, we got to decorate and we have to. And, well, and this now feeds into the same type things.
This feeds into what you were saying about maximalism before, right?
Yeah.
That sort of like, I need to decorate my space leads to not, and so I will get rid of everything, right? What can I put in to make it look cool and comfy and homey?
Exactly. And so on that note, this specific thing that I picked out that is sort of the current, like, if you would like to participate in decorator culture, then you are going to have to get yourself a mid-century stand planter. And I'm not just saying this because of the plant lady thing.
No, although it's the law.
It has made me notice them, but it is basically the law that if you're going to be a cool decorator person right now, you got to get one of these like standing planters that has a wooden leg base on the bottom and a white planter. And then you either need like a spider plant or maybe a fiddle leaf or something. But like this is required decorator having.
So I need to get this mid-century turned leg standing planter, stick it in my porch, my little enclosed porch.
Put it on your enclosed porch. And I believe, in fact, this the one on the West Elm page that will be on the show notes is up against a paneled wall.
Uh-huh. Or, yeah, it's some kind of tile, if not a
planter. Some kind of tile, yeah.
Yeah.
But, and it goes perfectly in an earth-toned room.
Oh, yeah, it does. I might be cited for some kind of ordinance violation if I don't have this, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
If I have a mid-century home, which I do, I believe it is a violation of local ordinances not to have a mid-century turned leg standing planter.
How have they not come for you?
You know, that's the thing about not being up to code. They have to have a reason to come in and inspect first.
Oh. So,
dodged a bullet there so far.
They have one now because this is a podcast.
All right. What's the shipping time from Wayfair or West Elm? Sorry.
You probably have a West Elm near you and everything is on sale.
Hurry, run.
So I've been noticing these for a while because I like them. And also now it is relentless. Like I see them everywhere. And I like that. And I'm noticing that there now are some variations creeping in. So like the classic white planter is what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But if you have a cluster because you have one of those beautiful mid-century like entryways with a big, huge window, mm-hmm. then you're allowed to get like a couple accessory ones where like one has a galvanized steel planter or a ceramic, because ceramic is back alongside this.
Sure. Earth tones or no?
Yeah, possibly. The one in the picture is turquoise, but you know, it could be.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
But it is just like, and now I have also noticed, the other reason I keep noticing these is because they're very expensive.
Yeah, this one is regularly $179, but it's on sale for $107. Now, is that just the stand, or is that the stand and the thing that the plant goes in?
This includes the ceramic planter, which, you know, I guess makes sense because planters are pretty expensive.
Okay.
But I just bought a stand on Amazon for like $11, and then I went and bought a white planter, and it looks really good. And then someone asked me, and then my decorator friend asked me if I got it at Restoration Hardware. So I was like, nailed it.
Yeah, you're like, yes, they sure did.
Nailed it. But anyway, yes, if you feel that you need to participate, this is your new status symbol, your new decorator culture status symbol.
Checking into our Discord in the Things channel, Laszlo the Great thinks vanity plates are totally back in black.
Yes, dude. Totally. He must live in California because.
Yeah, because the vanity plates here are the classic old California black style.
They look with the
yellow letters.
Awesome, too. I love them. And I have a bright blue car and it would just look so tacky. And it really bums me out because they look awesome. That is very true. Let's see. Laszlo the Great also said, I hope this becomes a thing, which is in high schools rather than doing yet another production of Our Town, making a full-on crazy play adaptation of a big box office film, because apparently in New Jersey, a high school did Alien. I don't know that could be a full-on play,
mm-hmm.
or full-on thing rather, but I hope it is.
Play adaptations of big box office films is definitely something I want to see more of.
I want that to be I think we could have a whole subcategory that is aspirational things.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Please
yeah.
Please be a thing.
Things
please
I
be
hope
a thing.
Become a thing. Right. Cider is that for me.
Yeah.
In addition to me being, I think it's fine. It's actually predictive.
Oh yeah. You nailed it.
And then just another guy named Jay Martin, who I think is just another Jay Martin. Who's the another Jay Martin that goes back to the Buzz Out Loud days, wrote, a thing that's becoming more of a thing, commercials that describe something that's just okay or dumb, which has nothing to do with the product. Then the narrator says, our product isn't just okay or dumb.
Oh, yeah. I have noticed that.
I think that's a Geico, like Geico may have started that.
Yeah. It seems to go with this sort of like hipster irony thing where you can't get mm-hmm. too excited. Like, have you seen the Diet Coke commercials where this like obnoxiously hip girl in a little like bomber jacket has a redesigned Diet Coke can because it's tall and thin now, the can, and she's like, look, Diet Coke, I just like it, you can have it if you want to. And it's basically this sort of tacit acknowledgement that like it's totally poison, but life is short. It's like the new YOLO or something. And I like can't stand that commercial and that girl. And my son saw it and he was like, I like her. Because she has an insouciant DGAF vibe that makes me want to drink Diet Coke. He obviously didn't say that, but that's what they're going for.
DGAF. that's cool. I'm going to start saying that now.
DGAF. I think you're supposed to pronounce it DGAF.
DGAF.
If you want to be an actual hipster, yeah. Mm-hmm. My insouciant DGAF bomber jacket says I can have a Diet Coke even though it's poison.
My modus operandi would be for the next week to just say DGAF over and over and over again, whether it's appropriate or not, until I'm burned out on it. Yeah.
Do it. That, you know what, Tom? That is your way.
I
that
DGAF.
Is your special way. To take that thing and drive it into the ground.
Because I DGAF about it.
Because I DGAF about it. Also, I think on a different podcast, we would totally acknowledge that Pete Buttigieg is a thing.
That what?
Pete Buttigieg. Buttigieg. Pete Buttigieg.
What are you talking about?
That guy who's running for president, the Indiana mayor.
Oh, Mayor Pete. Mayor Pete. Yeah, whose last name no one ever tries to say.
No.
Yeah.
No. I, like I'm saying, in a different show, we would speculate on whether a guy with the word butt in his name could ever, ever become president in America.
Well, that's why he goes by Mayor Pete.
I know, right? It seems
that's
silly.
That's good branding. Yeah.
But there's a whole thing. There's a whole psychology of naming.
Yeah.
And I find it. And if he could overcome that, I think that would be astonishing.
He popped up to number 3 in the Iowa poll. So,
yeah. That's what made me notice it. I was like, whoa.
And on politics this week, Justin Robert Young did his check-in with his mom, who lives in Florida. And so he's like key Florida voter.
He
sort of clarified to her who Mayor Pete was. She's like, is that this guy? He's like, no, it's the other guy. And then as soon as she got clarified, she's like, oh, I like him.
Oh.
It was like the cresting of the Mayor Pete wave there, I think.
Yeah, it's a thing. Mayor Pete. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At least today I want to like mark this in time because it's such a freaking long campaign season, you know, that there's part of me that's going to be like, how adorable was it that back in March we were like, Mayor Pete is a thing.
I remember at about let's fast forward to August in this cycle. I was talking to our dear friend Will Harris at Dragon Con. And he said, what is up with your presidential candidates? And I said, don't worry. It's all just for entertainment right now. Trust me, by the time of the convention, it'll be Bush.
Oh, damn. Yeah.
Yeah. So nobody knows anything ever.
That's amazing. Hey, on to your comments. Episode 53, we had a comment from Kevin saying vending machines, yes. And the car one in particular, he pointed out. He said Raleigh, North Carolina has one of the Carvana ones as well. It's along the main Beltline highway that circles Midtown. And then I think someone from Carvana wrote to me.
Yeah.
Wrote to us to specify that, which I think we mentioned, but to specify that these are cars that people have already bought and it's a way to pick up.
Yeah.
Not to do their
you don't go in and like
them.
Feed a suitcase of money in and then it just decides which one. That's
but
a good
I
point.
Still kind of want that to be the one.
I know.
Just like a tiny bit.
And then Matt wrote in pointing out that Blossom Chic is a thing. Overalls, chunky boots, and a floppy fisherman's hat. Matt says this is the most 90s girl I've seen in 20 years, except she was wearing ugly giant early 80s glasses, which are also a thing. I work at a theme park, and I've noticed the overalls are a thing sometimes. Gwen Stefani style with just a mini shirt. Also, late 70s, early 80s giant ugly prescription glasses have been making a comeback. Also, I started noticing everyone had the same Kavu rope strap backpacks. They come in many flavors, but they are all over the place.
Kavu rope bag. I'm looking at this.
Kavu rope strap. K-A-V-U.
Oh, yeah, I see it. Yep, and the crossbody. Also, speaking of that, actually, I guess it was a early 90s trend that you remember the teeny tiny backpacks, maybe
yes.
Not because of the teeny tiny backpacks are coming back too. It's all
yeah
happening.
I've noticed that too. Like I'm like, what do you put in there, your wallet?
Basically. It's just ridiculous. Like now they're slightly big enough for the I remember even at the time, this is such a like what an unbearable, you know, late teenager I was just like, those are totally impractical and they make no sense. They're just for looks, like. And then I had to become an adult to realize that sometimes just for looks is fun, too.
I was sitting on the bus stop next to you. We didn't know each other then. Going, yeah, no, you're totally right, lady.
So impressed. So ridiculous. Who would even carry that? And then here I am, fast forward all these years, talking about decorator culture. Like, actually, the mid-century modern planter is on sale.
Listen, if you live long enough, you will be a hypocrite. There's just no escaping it.
If I live one more day. I'll be a hypocrite from today.
And I don't mean you, Molly. I mean people, all of us, including myself.
Without a doubt. Hey, so everyone, a comment on your comments, which we love, but a little bit of gentle feedback. We've noticed some comments showing up on the About Us page at itsathing.me, which is awesome because you're talking to us, which we love. But we don't see them until way later. So if you want to leave us a timely comment, we suggest leaving them on the episode page at itsathing.me or just email us feedback@itsathing.me. And if you want to leave us some feedback about our website, and if it's just become easier to leave comments on the About Us page, tell us so that we can make some changes to make it easier.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it could be us.
This is us not saying don't do something that you want to do. We're saying, look, you can leave the message under a rock in the backyard. We just won't find it as soon.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's exactly it. And okay, so thank you once again to everybody who donates to the show via Patreon. It is wonderful, and it, you know, makes us want to make a high quality product every single week. And we are so close to 300 patrons.
Yes.
So close.
We are like two away, and it's March 30th as we're recording this. So if, even if it's after April, but if you, the person listening who are already a patron, just convince one other person to go, that's it. You don't have to convince two. Somebody else will pick up the other one.
Yep. And then we could hit 300 by the end of March, which would be like a pretty fun stretch goal. It's like a sprint. We have a sprint goal, which is hit 300 by the end of March.
And Molly promises to dress up like a character from the movie 300 if we do it.
I have that up in my closet. It totally.
I wouldn't be totally shocked.
It totally survived spring cleaning.
That may or may not be true what I just said, but we definitely want to hit 300.
We definitely want to hit 300. That's also not true. I do have a Ray costume. So anyway, thank you for those of you who have already subscribed.
My
it's patreon.com/itsathing. And if you can get us that one friend so we can hit our sprint goal, we would be super appreciative.
And big shout out to our It's a Shout Out level supporters, Chaz Watson and Mike Akins, for continuing to support us. And shout out to everybody who supports us at patreon.com/itsathing.
Yes, you make us better. Thanks, everyone.
You're our favorites.
See you next week.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.